My heart the one call. And I'm back walking the streets with you again. And each star in its place, waiting to hear you say those words again. I'm not dressed for rain. Rain for days and days. At the harbor light, they're putting on a show. Try not to cry. And we were so in love. The darkening day. Don't you dare speak to your father that way. That's what you say. And I'm so sad because to stay. And you are everything. I'm still a boy, and you're still a king.
Did not turn on the channels, and I just said that on radio. Hello, what's up, dear listeners? I'm your host, Hannah, and you're listening to This Is Not Fine, only on CIDR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. This Is Not Fine is your healthy dose of rage about culture, media, and society, or at least I like to think that it is. In studio today, I have two esteemed guests. I have Tasha, a recurring guest at this point, and I don't need to introduce her.
I will not be silenced.
Wow. I support that.
Thanks.
And Isia for the first time ever.
Hi. Hello. I'm Isia. I don't know what else to say.
That's perfect.
That's great.
It's accurate. It's, I am Isia.
Short and sweet. Right. Isia is the music and volunteer manager at CADR, and we've been talking about her coming on my show for months, and I'm glad this is happening, finally.
Me too. It's been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm. So hello, hello, you too. okay, so today we're talking about something very serious. We're talking about reality TV, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I get super into titles for my shows. It doesn't matter, but it matters to me.
It matters, yeah.
I think it's important.
We need a framework.
Thank you, thank you. It's all about the framework. And the title for today is Our Insatiable Appetite for Reality TV.
As the first time hearing said title, I approve. This is correct. It's a very good title.
Thank you. Today, we specifically want to talk about our most favorite subgenre of reality TV, if I dare say, dating shows. And the all-time question, why are we so hooked? And why are there so many? And why do we continue to watch them?
That's a big question.
Mm-hmm. Lots of whys, hey?
Yeah.
I have a fun fact. I love fun facts. Did you guys know that there were 750 reality TV shows in 2015?
750?
750.
In the world?
Not $7.50. I immediately misheard.
No, 750 reality shows in 2015. And it's just American reality.
Just American? Okay. Damn. That's crazy.
Wild.
There must be like the most niche of niches, like country.
Oh, yeah. It's like dating sites.
Yeah.
How there's like farmersconnect.com.
Exactly. But television.
Oh, as a dating show, that would rule.
Ooh.
I wonder what qualifies it as a dating show, though. Like, what are the parameters of that?
Unscripted singles, horny on TV.
That sounds
marriage.
Right. Yeah. Maybe marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a description for all of them.
Yeah.
Marriage question mark.
Mm-hmm.
Exclamation
babies,
mark.
Question mark, question mark?
Yeah. Babies, tiny text.
Yeah. Small print. Too long, don't read.
Yeah.
I read this and I was like, oh my God, this is actually so wild. And there especially has been such a boom in reality TV courtesy streaming platforms. So I'm curious. I don't know. What comes to your mind immediately when you hear reality TV?
I feel like for many people, reality TV means like kind of, yeah, like dating shows or like shows where they just follow people around, like the Kardashians and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But competition shows are very much reality television, and it's like less looked down upon. And people are like, I don't watch reality TV shows. I watch competition shows. And I'm like, that is definitely reality TV. That didn't really answer your question. But
no, it somewhat did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, sort of divisive, like competition shows as the elite reality TV, and then there's like the seen as trashy, but really we're just talking about like unscripted television, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing inherently trashy about unscripted television. Of course, it ends up that way. And I feel like I would just describe most of it as like hedonistic melodrama, like, Christianity. Like, only because a lot of the romance ones seem to revolve around marriage, and then just like, why?
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about that. And I think that is just such a like epitome of goals. It's a societal goal, right? Since time immemorial, like marriage, and it just gives you high status in society. Like it used to for the longest time and sort of still does, or there's still kind of that big group of people, and so it's just aspirational in that sense. I don't know, just trying to, I suppose, answer my question. I think, yeah, I don't know. I guess unscripted TV.
See what you did there.
Yeah, I was telling AC and Tasha earlier that I'm jaded and maybe not a good good audience for reality.
Well, you know
TV.
What's funny, as you were saying that, I had the thought like, okay, if marriage is sort of like the be all end all, that's like the big aspirational goal that we have sort of just in society, but we view reality TV as inherently trashy.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that go against how we view marriage in general? Like, why?
Yeah, it's kind of like a bastardization of marriage for like people to
for optics
achieve it through television.
Yeah. I think everything about reality TV is just irony, in my opinion. And there are times when I've seen like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette are great examples where people would like really hate on a character, but then they make it to the end, and they're like the perfect like married person or married wife, and that's the redeemable quality. So I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's like apocalyptic to watch people getting engaged through like a social experiment. Like you said, like married through TV.
Yeah.
It's stressful to watch. So maybe that's what makes it feel trashy to consume, is because it's like a bastardization, and it's also just like a stressful experience. And it feels valueless, even though I don't believe these things. Like,
totally.
Just because it is on TV doesn't mean that any of these things aren't, like, in any way real for the people participating in these strange, like, little microcosms.
Because how is it that different than, like, trying to find love or whatever on TV, right?
Yeah. I mean, that said, like, everyone's on there playing a role. And to some extent, we're always playing roles in our lives, but it's heightened when you're on reality TV because you're like, so many eyeballs are watching me do me, so I'm going to choose my top three qualities, and that's my personality. And I think that's, like, a toxic thing that comes out of it, is everyone just begins to just, like, perform there.
It's also, like, I feel like a lot of reality television people that I've seen talk about their experience, they're like, everything I felt and did was real, but I was in a completely unrealistic, like, situation. Like, you're just put in something that would never happen in the real world. So no matter how, like, authentic to yourself you try to be, you're gonna act weird because you're just in a situation that you never thought you'd be in. Like, it's just like your environment is so false that it's impossible to act normal. And then you add editing and, like, all that stuff into it, and it's just, like, over. Like, it's pretty much over for everyone.
It's like the reality is so manufactured that obviously it's like, okay, what's real and what's not. But something interesting I was watching last night, I was watching one of the bachelorettes being interviewed on a TED Talk. I think her name's Caitlin Bristow. And the interviewer straight up asked her, did you go on The Bachelorette to find love or to build your brand? And she's like, to build my brand.
Duh.
Yeah, of course.
You know? But here's the thing. Like, obviously, on the reality TV show, she couldn't say that, right? Yeah. But now that she was The Bachelorette, and then, I mean, according to her, she found the love of her life, and that was a bonus and all. But that's just another whole thing of reality TV where, I don't know, it's just maybe, I don't know. I don't know if it's easy, but I think, like, a very, like, quick, easy way to, for fame and, like, to be in the zeitgeist.
Yeah. we're like,
yeah.
I love the, like, unanimous, like.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's, like, really, what makes dating shows specifically, I think, more insidious, though, is the more sincere they try and make it. Which is why I prefer shows like Love Island, where pretty much everyone knows what it is. Like, there's no, like, big veil. Like, sometimes they play up the romance side of it, but for the most part, they're just hanging out. But versus, like, Love is Blind, where the hosts, like, Nick Lachey and his wife, I forget her name.
I can't stand them.
Yeah, they're like...
Natasha?
They're like, we have a successful marriage, and we know how to do this for you.
Yeah, I know.
And, like, we're gonna, like... beat the odds, and, like, they make it seem so serious when it's, like,
oh my god, the fact that they host
crazy.
This show is, like, telling on their marriage.
It's
exactly.
Such a meta
no
irony.
Way.
It's so weird. And they do the ultimatum as well.
Oh, of course.
And they're
they do.
Like, they're like, we have a successful marriage and we can help you. And it's really strange.
No, I'd rather go to
so,
a couple of counselors.
It's so serious and sincere.
Yeah.
Like, it's so
y'all are
weird.
Telling on yourselves.
Yeah.
No, I agree. It's it just makes me feel very disillusioned, and I'm like, I don't believe you. Like, stop trying. Or, like, just playing up the authenticity so much for optics. It's like, okay, I'd rather that we all not pretend that.
Yeah.
This is sincere.
This is something that I totally gleaned from an article that I once read about reality TV that I'm not going to address fully because I don't remember the title. But they were talking about this sort of, like, script that people have on romance dating reality TV shows where they're like, if there's a prize, mind you, where they're like, she's here for the big air quotes right reasons, or she's here for the air quotes wrong reasons. And, of course, the, like, right reasons infers, like, wholesome love and marriage, and they're really just there to find someone. And the wrong reasons supposedly are there for, like, fame and to be seen and to, like, jump on the pipeline to be an influencer. But, like, truly, everyone is there for kind of a mix of both, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, the division is ridiculous, and the people that are that are like positing that they're there only for right reasons to find love. Like, no, you're not.
Yeah, yeah, like you're kidding yourself.
You
yeah.
quit your job. You like took time off. You're like, you left your family. Like, there's definitely, there's easier ways to find love than doing yeah. all of that to just go in a TV show.
Get
it's
on
crazy.
A dating app. There are bajillions of them.
And the producers, yeah. like, they really back this too, though. They're like, I'd think the producers of like something like The Bachelor, like they pretend that this show is like so earnest, like people are earnestly like looking to like fall in love with this person. And so they push the right reasons, wrong reasons dichotomy. And yeah. it's like.
Yeah, that's so naive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, that's my commentary.
I think something you just said about like a script that they're talking about, like kind of the language they use around all of it is really interesting because it just made me think of like Love Island UK. There's very specific phrases that people use when they're talking to each other and like expressing their like feelings for each other. It's like the same like five phrases that they use. Like, oh, you're a bit of me. You're like, you're my type on paper. Like, blah blah blah. But then you look at Love Island USA, and they use the same phrases just because they're used to seeing it on the UK version, even though they're American. Like, it's really interesting that you can tell they've been watching the show, and they like, they're nervous, so they're like, I'm just gonna talk like how people Whoa. Talk on the show, and they'll be like, oh, can I pull you for a chat? Like, that's what they always say. Can I pull you for a chat? And the Americans are like, oh, can I pull you for a chat? Okay. I'm like, you don't...
Who says that? I don't...
Yeah, it's so interesting that there's, like, literally... It's not like the... I don't think the producers are telling them to say it this way, but the conventions of the show just naturally have been built, and then everyone's kind of, like, falls into them.
When well, the like, shows start it. To write themselves, because yeah. everyone's, like, mimetic after a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
It's so weird. Like, that... The script thing is just... Yeah, like... Can I pull you for a chat? I'm like, you don't talk like that in real life.
Nobody does.
But people on Love Island do, so now you do. Huh. It's so weird.
Something that I'm thinking about for Love is Blind, which is like my ultimate, I mean, I've seen it, but my ultimate critique of that show is just this trying to play it up as this like really pure, sincere thing of like, you haven't seen the person and... This is not shallow, and it's beyond how the other person looks. Okay, mind you, everyone's attractive on that show, and when they see their partner, they're relieved that, oh, this is not someone who's not attractive conventionally. But the idea of, like, quote-unquote arranged marriages, which is, like, I don't know, it's been happening in so many societies since centuries, and I'm like, okay, this is not a novel concept, but... The celebrity couple, the Lacheys or whatever, like really play that up of like first time ever on TV, blind love. And I'm like, okay, I'm literally going to kill
you.
This has been happening in South Asian communities since forever.
Yeah. The whole concept of the veil even isn't the whole thing like you're like seeing your wife, I don't know, for the first time. Anyways, I don't know if that's fact, but it feels like a fact.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a
that's
historical
a parallel.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it used to, yeah.
yeah.
Like, it was
like it's not new. It's so old.
No.
Also, like, that whole, like, the whole premise of the show acts like attraction isn't important. Like, it's so funny that they, I don't know, I'm like, that's like a very normal, natural part of any relationship
yeah.
ever. And
so true.
They think they could take it out
exactly.
of the equation, and it's like... A crazy experiment.
Totally. Like,
why
they
treat
yeah.
it as like
here?
A weird, dirty secret. You yeah. know, they're like, "Oh, we gotta like train you guys to stop thinking that love stems from attraction."
Yeah,
you guys gotta learn.
Like, that's totally fine. That's how we operate in the real world. And to kind of make that like really demonize that to the mm-hmm. point that it's like so fake. And it's always funny to me when like. The couple see each other IRL, and I'm always like, oh, thank God you're attracted. Like,
yeah, sometimes they say it too. They're like, oh, cool.
That like, okay. is so stressful.
Yeah. it's just this like very ultra like dystopian reality. And it's like, why are we trying something that does not even happen?
I think it's truly like, it's truly the idea of playing it off as super sincere, super earnest, and super idealized love and romance and attraction. Mm-hmm. That's the scariest, most, like, pernicious part of these shows is, like, yeah, we all are criticizing its sincerity, and we're all uncomfortable watching it. I mean, at least I was freaking stressed the whole time I watched.
Season 3 is extra bad. I would just like to say, like, it feels extra disgusting. I don't know why.
They play it off so like lush and beautiful, and it's actually and disgusting and scary and stressful. And you're like, tell me, like, do a Love Island and tell me exactly what it is. Like, yeah. Just be frank.
Just be shitty. I am all for that.
Just be shitty.
Yeah, I don't know if we can say that on radio, but that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I stand by it.
Honestly, the more we talk about these other shows, the more I become a Love Island stan.
Yeah.
Because the only real part of it that really promotes people falling in love is the fact that you don't do anything else but hang out. So you actually spend a lot of time with people and get to know them really well in like a short amount of time. Like 2 months becomes like a year because you literally only spend time with each other. But in Love is Blind, you're like, you don't even get to do anything. Like along with not seeing each other, you don't do anything.
It's
like, you
so
just
boring.
Talk and sit.
Yeah.
I'd lose my mind.
It's just these strange pillars of like Christianity, moralism that they like feed into those shows.
Yeah. I'll take two things from you, Tasha. You said stressed multiple times. I think it's really the shock factor, right? You're like, oh no, they didn't.
Yeah, you're right.
Which I don't know, keeps us hooked.
We know that's the subtext, but it's not given to us like upright, which is the annoying thing. Is like subtext is, this is like bogus bizarre land.
Yeah.
This is like Disney World. Like, mm-hmm. What's going on? Mm-hmm. But they're not going to say it. They're going to play their beautiful romantic music, and Nick Lachey is going to look sculpted and say some weird shit about like marriage as being like a pillar of life. And like, they're moralizing it so much, and you're like, this is not a moral program. Like,
no.
Come on, guys.
This is Netflix.
Yeah.
Chill out. I don't know.
Okay. I think we should go on a break, and I have some more questions for you folks. So, okay, we're gonna go on a break. For what
I say, but are we so qualified, or? And when I think of people, I look up.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or Grocery Checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today. You know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya. Do you want to change the state of the world? But instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both. Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s all-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people for their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing health care, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
All right. Welcome back, folks. You just listened to Runner by Alex G. That was recommended by Aisea. You're listening to This Is Not Fine on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm your host, Hannah, and I've got Tasha and Aisea in studio with me today.
Hello, hello.
What are we talking about, you guys?
We've been talking about reality TV. And I think that's something that a lot of people are immediately going to be like, ew, why? Mm-hmm. But I would strongly suggest, if you're an ew, why person, to reconsider why you think certain things are in poor taste and some things are in good taste.
Exactly. Deep. And reexamine what you're actually watching. I'm like, do you watch Drag Race? That's reality TV.
Yeah, girl.
Oh, yeah.
Do you watch, like, I don't know what else is popular. A lot of things. MasterChef, that's reality TV.
Queer Eye, Queer TV. Eye.
Totally. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys hate watch reality TV or love watch it?
I mostly passive watch it.
Yeah.
Especially like a show, like a Netflix show because they're bingeable. Mm-hmm. Or like Love Island because there's 50,000 episodes each season. It's like,
oh, God.
I watch when I'm doing something else, like knitting or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to like use... I use like half my attention to watch them.
Okay. Yeah. How about you?
I think I watch it socially. Like I really love watching reality TV shows with other people where we can kind of spitball and you know what I'm talking about?
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I watch a lot of reality TV alone.
It's for friendship.
Yeah.
Right?
It is. It is for friendship.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd say hate watch it a little bit, but also I feel voyeuristic because I'm like, I'm so detached from these people and it's very like Sean Friday moment that I have. And I'm like, oh, you suck and you brought this upon yourself.
Oh, but don't we love that?
Yeah, exactly. It's a great feeling.
Hurts so good.
Does that make me sound like a bit of an awful person? I don't know. Maybe. But that's my truth. while I was doing some research for this show, I actually found something really fascinating. It's probably my favorite moment in every episode where I'm like, ooh, let me tell you something that you probably don't know. Or maybe you know, but you can hear it again. So I was reading this research done by Misha Kafka, who's a media scholar and has written several books on reality TV subculture. And she describes reality TV, the whole genre, in three categories. And she starts with what she calls the camcorder generation, which was popular in the late 80s. So think popular crime shows with very shaky footage and long extended takes. And then the second generation began in the late 90s, the birth of like competition shows like Survivor, Amazing Race, American Idol. And then also alongside there were more surveillance shows like Big Brother. And she talks about how that subgenre began developing its own rules and production and kind of became like a huge thing. And the third one, which I suppose like what we're mostly living in, the third era of reality TV, it began in 2002, which Kafka described as a gradual but like very obvious shift from like emphasizing on documenting everyday life to manufacturing like a celebrity culture out of the everyday. And that was actually so interesting because I was thinking that's kind of the era that I grew up with, the early 2000s, and a lot more emphasis on fame. So like I'm thinking a lot of MTV shows or like the Paris Hilton show, the BFF show, or Keeping Up with the Kardashians, where it's like, okay, these people are only famous because they had these like oddball unhinged shows and we watch them and they're like quote-unquote celebrities now. So I don't know. I thought that was really interesting. And I also was reading how in the 1940s, 50s, which like the early, the first reality TV show is set to be Candid Camera, which really blurs the line, or it's sort of like a marriage between, it's ironic that I said marriage, but kind of an amalgamation between documentary and reality TV, because back in the day, there was not much of a distinction. And then in people's mind, more of the distinction was like, oh, reality TV is more of like a bastard child of documentary. And so I thought that was very interesting. But yeah.
And I may be wrong about this, but I think Candid Camera also originated on air. Like its first iteration was this like unscripted, like on air, kind of like talking to people and getting like off the cuff reactions. And yeah, then it like transitioned to TV. But it's weird that it had its like first moments of like bigger quotes reality TV, mm-hmm, like on radio.
Yeah, I think you're right. That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. So for this segment, I'd be interested in talking about maybe just some big tropes we see in dating shows. And I suppose that's like more of a second part of like what it's, I don't know if I'm relating tropes to like human psyche, but that's just, I don't know, I'm always curious about that. But I think we can start with like big tropes if any jump out right away.
I think you kind of mentioned this earlier, but especially on shows like The Bachelor, there's always a character that like all the other women really dislike, and she has like no interest in like being friends with them or having them like her, but she like performs really well for The Bachelor and like usually wins. But like the whole time, like all the viewers and all the other competitors like completely hate her. And like there was one contestant, I think her name was Courtney, but she consciously was just like, I don't care about them, I just like want him to like me. And she was so good at like performing the perfect fantasy of like the fiance to be, and it totally worked. But like she was awful, and it was just crazy seeing like, I don't know how easy it was for her to just be like, I know exactly what men want and like what this guy wants and how to be that. Yeah. And I don't care about everyone else.
Well, when you said perform well for The Bachelor, like the pit in my stomach opened
it's gross.
Up. I was like,
but it's also like, that's a lot of, I don't know, just people in general, they're just like, they are ready to like, you know, be the perfect, be the perfect one. Like future wife, or like be the cool wife for their like future husband, and like think that's what you have to do.
Cool wife. Yeah. They don't. Yeah. They're not like other women, and that's why
it's true.
Sometimes they win, and yeah, that's such a good point. There's always that contentious potential winner who sometimes ends up winning, and everyone's shocked because the last Bachelor that I saw, this person that nobody thought is going to win, that and it was later revealed, and like people dug up her old Facebook posts and that she was racist. She ended up winning the Bachelor. So I think that really correlates to the trope that you're talking about.
These tropes, like, they're so perpetuated by the fact that this is still, maybe not totally secretly, but somewhat secretly a competition. Like, it's under the umbrella of, like, love and romance, and you're going to find someone and fall in love and whatever. But it's still a competition, right? So everyone there is going to be in competitive mode. And if you're in competitive mode and it's like a super hetero scenario and you're trying to like impress a straight man, what else can you do to compete besides just play up to the male gaze? Like, that's how you compete in this environment.
Yeah.
Or you pick another trope and you become that trope really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the secret competition element in particularly romance reality TV is actually kind of frightening because it perpetuates really horrible things, and that's why it can be stressful to watch, because you're like, don't, but I understand why you're doing it, because you're still competing.
Yeah,
you know?
It's definitely triggering, because it brings out some women can be like, especially for in the Bachelor, like some women can be really nasty to each other, and that's another trope, right? There's always that one person who's gonna make it far enough, and she's very catty and she's awful, but then we know that she's not gonna win, so she's the antagonist, I suppose. Which is another.
And you can't blame her. Like, she has to play that role in order to win.
It's also interesting, especially again in The Bachelor.
But I hate her.
Just because, true. The Bachelor, like, is one of the most messed up ones in terms of just, like, I don't know, sexism and, like, all these weird traditional stuff. But, like, the way that all the women have to really toe the line of, like, how sexual they are. Like, especially before they're giving out the roses or whatever. Like, the one season I watched with that Courtney girl, it's like, you know, people will look down at you if you, like, make out with the Bachelor right before the thing to, like, kind of sway him to pick you. Or, like, I don't know, if you're, like, you go too far, then everyone's like, wow, I can't believe she did that. That's so cheap. Like, that's so messed up. But then also if you're, like, really don't want to, like, do anything on camera and, like, kiss anyone, they're, like, you're a total prude. And you have to, like, toe this perfect line of, like, enticing enough, but, like, not too enticing.
What's fascinating about most dating shows to me is our obsession with...
Sorry, I keep on kicking the table.
Oh, what happened?
I'm so sorry.
Gathering my thoughts. The most fascinating and... mind-boggling thing about most dating shows to me is like the extreme obsession with sex and romance, but also being like, oh, we're not here for that. So
yeah,
it's just
like,
that pretends.
Suggest, but don't talk about
it. No, exactly. It has deep sexual tones, and it's like, why are we pretending? This is exhausting. But
that's literally just America.
Yeah.
It's pretty valid.
All American media, it's like all about sex, but as soon as it is actually about sex, they're like, whoa, don't do that.
Super sexual, very hetero, but like pretending that it's not, and this is universal. And it's like, no, you all are crazy.
And honestly, like, the camera people are some of the horniest people around. Like, I noticed that.
So sexist.
The shots that they take, I'm talking about, what's it called? Love is Blind. When I watched the one episode, and it stressed me out. Most of it is like they do these long-winded shots of like woman walking down the hallway, and they actually do like a top to bottom or a bottom to top shot.
That pan, but not on men though.
So overtly horny, but also like we're just talking about marriage.
And
they're
never
just
on
gonna
men.
Get married. Yeah, no, the men never get
no.
it. Sometimes there was like a 5-second shot of a girl's cleavage, and I'm like, what year was this made? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And why is this still selling? This is so gross. But no, definitely. There's, dating. I don't know. Dating shows are so wild. And, oh, another interesting, and I don't know if this is so much of a trope, but I've noticed, full disclosure, I don't really watch that much reality TV. But I've noticed, quoting the Bachelor that I watched in the pandemic with the first visible minority bachelor, which was really interesting. They really played up our first black bachelor and stuff. There were a bunch of women contestants who were BIPOC women, and they got eliminated so fast. Like, I don't even remember their names. So there's always like, oh, like these four black women and three brown women, and you don't remember the name, and they just get eliminated right away. So they're just kind of lurking in the background.
Oh my god!
And I'm like, why is this? Why are these four women even on the show?
Yeah, Love Island. How it starts off is basically like the girls line up, and then the guys come out one by one and pick who they want to be coupled with to start off, and like without fail. Yeah, Tasha's horrified. Without fail, every season the like non-white girls get picked last, and it's so awful. It's like I literally always have to skip through that part because it like stresses me out so hard, and it's just, it's so deplorable.
Oh,
and the UK
do
K one
better.
The USA one actually pretty decent.
Okay,
they're pretty okay, surprisingly, on the USA version.
ICA is our in-house reality TV expert.
I just really like Love Island. And when we're talking about like objectifying, like they just objectify everyone lot in Love Island. They're just like abs.
I'm about it.
Butt,
I'm about
boobs.
It. Objectify everyone or no one.
Yeah. And they're like stripper challenge, and they all like strip for each other. It's so bad.
Okay. But
they
it's
all do
honest.
It. They all do it.
Yeah.
It's honest.
Yeah. And like, I don't know.
You sold me.
They're like, we're trashy. It's awesome. And then once in a while, they're like, we love each other, but no one watches for that, you know.
It, yeah, you. I will say, Aisuga, you have been convincing me slowly.
It's honestly a waste of time. The seasons are too long.
Too late.
It's too long. The seasons are too long. But one trope on Love Island that I've noticed recently is like the nice guy. There's always one guy who like keeps on getting rejected, and everyone's like, ugh. Poor guy, he deserves better. And he usually doesn't. There's usually something wrong with him in a very subtle, like, you know, he's nice to you until you reject him, and then he like calls you a slut or something, you know, like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And it's always edited like, oh, poor guy. And I'm like, no, he sucks. Like, there's a reason none of these girls want to date him. It's like,
yeah,
you know.
Speaking of editing, sometimes it's so obvious how manipulative it is, but they really shove it down your throat so much that you start believing it, right? And there are all these, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, maybe we're the ones, the viewers or the voyeurs who are really fucked in the head because we like that simplicity that reality TV offers of like the bad guy or the good girl or the villain, and we like to put people in these boxes because it's just easier for us to decipher, and it's comforting in some ways, right? Because we don't want nuance. Like, that's not why I'm watching reality TV for. I'd rather listen to a podcast.
Yeah, actually, that's really interesting because I just realized that, like, reality TV and just, like, unscripted television in general has such an opportunity to show really complex characters. Well, I guess people. They're people. Maybe. I don't know. But they can show complexity, and they can show nuance, and they can show a full spectrum, but they choose to cast people, like to typecast people.
Yeah.
And then people also choose to like play up those roles. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe people don't, and maybe the editors just kind of like pick and choose the parts that like best suit what they want that person to look and be like. But yeah, we want it to be super easy.
Third time.
It's ASMR.
Sorry.
And like, it's upsetting because there should be these full spectrums of people that we see. And maybe that's what early reality TV did best, because when I watched like the first season of The Real World from like the 90s or whatever, and people are, you really don't like, you kind of want to root for them. You kind of don't want to root for them because they're complex. They're just human beings, but they're not like a one-sided character.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe we fell too hard in the direction of like one-sided characters.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I think we felt backward in the characterization and the narrative of reality TV. And then again, going back to like, this is what sells, it's really just a shock value or the spectacle of like, this would never happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just so hooked, and you can't take your eyes off and you continue watching it. And it's interesting now with Netflix and Prime, they just churn out season after season on the so formulaic, because Love is Blind, I know what's going to happen. Season one, the same thing. Season two, season three. And I don't know, people still continue to watch that because it's the same format and it maybe gets tiring or doesn't.
Tasha, did you get to the point in season three where...
No spoilers.
It's not really a spoiler, but someone gets rejected and then in his like talking head interview, he pulls out eye drops and he says, oh, is this okay? And then he puts them in his eyes and then he starts crying.
Oh, I love that yes. so much.
It's oh crazy because he was like, oh, they're going to like let me fake this because this is reality TV. But they just kept it all in and he's just like, doop, doop. And he was like the worst. I hated him the whole time.
Oh my God, Isia, I am freaking out because yes, I did. And this is why this is like a social thing. It's like you need someone to look at when this crazy like shenanigans is happening.
So crazy.
Yeah, because he was trying to play the role of like, the scorned man that got rejected and he was a really good candidate, but the whole time you're like, this guy is too much, but he doesn't know that he's too much. And the moment in which he's trying to fake his tears and they just leave it in, that's complex character development.
I'm here for it.
Those
little moments win me over.
And on the other side of things, like, something, again, I keep on bringing it back to Love Island, I love Love Island.
Let's go.
Everyone's, like, pretty boring. They're just really hot. Like, everyone's pretty boring, and they just, like, drama happens because they have nothing else to do. But this season, there is this woman named Ekansu who was amazing. She was just completely dramatic and, like, heinous and totally playing everything up for the cameras. And she knew it, and everyone there knew it, and all the viewers knew it, and everyone loved it because they were just, like, this is great television. And that's all it is. No one believed it. And like the other contestants didn't like her for it, but it was great. And I'm like, that's what you're literally here to do. Like, I don't know, just lean in.
I want to talk more on that, but we should take a quick break and we'll be right back.
To the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material.
Heavy Metal Radio, bringing you the best metal for over 30 years on CITR. Tune in every Saturday from 1 to 3.
You know what I could go for right now? Authentic flour tortillas pan-fried until golden brown.
Yum!
Or vegan taco kits filled with traditional Mexican chilies and spices.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Or how about vegan potato and chorizo taquitos?
How can I get these foods immediately?
Buy Lita's Mexican Foods.
Sounds delicious. Tell me more.
Lita's Mexican Foods is a female-managed, plant-based Mexican food innovator in BC. Their products come prepackaged and frozen at tons of local grocery stores around Metro Vancouver. Not to mention they can be cooked in under 10 minutes.
Wow, that sounds perfect for me. I've been so busy lately and dinner takes so long to make. Where can I get my hands on some Lita's Mexican Foods?
Lots of places. Whole Foods, Choices, Stong's, Vegan Supply, Donald's, and even UBC Bookstore. Hey, where are you going?
To buy some Lita's Mexican Foods. See you later.
See ya.
And we're back, folks. You're listening to This Is Not Fine on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. We've been having a very hot and heavy discussion about reality TV or train wreck television, as some people call it. And I'm your host, Hannah, and I've got Tasha and Isia here giving me their really important thoughts on this matter.
Spiritually and emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. I have nothing to add.
And Asia has been providing background ASMR.
I'm so sorry. I'm very clumsy and I have long femurs, so it's a hard life.
You do. I can confirm. Okay, so I was as I was telling you two before the break that I've got a hard-hitting question.
Oh. So no, I'm not ready. Okay, maybe I'm ready.
No, you two are more than ready, trust me. Also, I felt like we fell down this weird rabbit hole talking about reality TV, and that was interesting. I don't know. It's like I had all these thoughts, but then I don't know.
There's so much to dissect with it. I agree.
There's two even like splitting it up into like dating and like different categories, it's still impossible.
Yeah.
Like there's just so much.
Well, like I will say, and I don't know if you guys felt that, but I was feeling like stream of consciousness of like I had all these thoughts formulated, but then just like reality TV, it was very much like hey, Bach.
Yeah.
So that's what I felt. It was weird, but it's okay. Oh, also, yeah, thank you, ACO, for plugging that in. This is part one of Insatiable Appetite for Reality TV, and stay tuned for part two. So this is our last segment, and we'll be wrapping up real soon. Something that I would like to pick you guys' brains about on is, how do you think reality TV shows shape our reality? And like, I don't know, how we view others. Like, is there any correlation?
That is a very big question, and I'm not sure what my answer would be in terms of like dating shows, just because they're so weird and like, I can't imagine normal people like trying to compare their relationships to a reality television dating show. And
we'll like subconsciously, though.
Yeah. I feel like we'll get more into this in the other segments. But in terms of like just that question really made me think of Drag Race and how Drag Race has like influenced people's perception of what drag is supposed to be. Mm. It's like really interesting. And I could go on about that, but I won't because that's for the competition section. But I don't know. I would say vlogging has really influenced people. And vlogging is basically reality television, but low budget on the internet. Mm. But that's also for the lifestyle section. So
low budget reality.
I'll come back to this question.
I see it's just here.
Next time.
Plugging in.
Those are some good ideas,
the
man.
The future of This Is Not Fine. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just like, what are your thoughts, Tasha?
Well, I mean, my most immediate thought was like, I think it's just confirmation bias. Like, we want to see the things that we're familiar with seeing. People performing the roles we're familiar with them performing. The editors want it. The producers want it. Probably some of the contestants want it. I wouldn't say that any one person goes on and is like, I am one singular thing. Like, I am this one trait only. But I think it just all kind of, like, feeds into itself. And there's, like, this familiarity we have with just seeing people play out the roles that we expect them to play out. And, like, I as a rule, hate that because I like to think I'm so complex. so, like,
sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
No, it's true. It's laughable. I'm, like, anytime someone, like, says, oh, you know, Tash, she likes this, I'll be like, no, I don't. Because like it's being categorized is just such a like horrible thing sometimes, but with reality TV it's weird because it gets spoon-fed to us as like this sort of like comforting soup of like tropes.
Trope soup.
But I mean I that's
sounds,
not to
that's
say
it sounds gross.
It's nasty.
It's trope soup.
And maybe that's why we call it trashy, because like we know that people are more than this.
Mm-mm,
like
yeah.
We know it, and we know that like romance and love and dating and sex is not a competition inherently, but we're being shown it as a competition, which feeds its own nasty cycle.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess I think it's just confirmation bias.
Yeah, and also just really perpetuating the scarcity mindset of
God,
there's always that one person who's gonna be very earnest and tell you that they're gonna die alone, and you're like, oh my god, am I gonna die alone? And so in that short moments on reality TV where you're like, oh, and you're not just a viewer, but maybe, quote unquote, you're like, oh, this character is actually kind of relatable. But, you know, I will say, reality TV, as much as I like to make fun of it and maybe think that I'm above it, it does, like, I don't know, it's a chicken or the egg situation. It does shape reality, but reality very much influences dating shows and reality TV, because when we were talking about the BIPOC women on Bachelor and how they get eliminated so fast, I was reminded of this podcast that I listened to, where this Black woman recorded her 1 year dating journey and talked about how little matches she gets compared to, like, her close friend who's white. And it's a great podcast. I think it was an episode on Media Girlfriends. But just to say that she highlighted the racism within the dating world and, like, the apps and the algorithms and stuff. And we don't have time to go into that, but I want to say that I have seen that play on reality TV, and I'm like, but this happens in real life too. So it's not far from reality, and those moments are scary, but also, I don't know, somber, I think.
It's like dating shows take all the worst parts of dating and amplify them.
Yeah.
Like the competitiveness and, like, the idea that, like, you have to fight over people and, like, other women are your competition and, like, all this stuff. It just, like, blows it up. And it's not fun to watch when it's, like, on those, very sincere shows, you know?
No, for sure. And I get reminded of high school, where I'm like, please don't bully me. It's actually triggering watching those girls be so nasty to each other, because that happened, right? And yeah, exactly what you said. Takes the worst of a reality and, like, tenfolds it.
Yeah. But in a way, I'm almost glad that that exists on reality TV, because I would hate it if they pretended that, like, misogyny didn't exist.
Yeah.
If you're running a show like this and they were, like, you know, really wrapping it up and made it look really pretty and beautiful, I'd be like, that's bogus. Like, don't tell me that, like, racism isn't going to happen, like, you know?
Yep, or fat phobia isn't real.
Yeah.
You're getting really far because you're a thin, attractive, tall woman.
Show me the nasty, gnarly reality, and, like, maybe that's more...
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you watch it, because you're like, I want to see things as they really are, but they don't really give it to you as it really is.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's so interesting, because in those little glimpses, you do see reality, quote unquote, and it's awful, but it's...
Affirming.
Mm-hmm. Affirming.
You're like, okay, this, like...
Now we're talking.
Yeah. I don't want to be gaslit by reality TV. That's what I'm saying.
That's all.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts before we wrap up?
Netflix needs to be stopped.
Ooh. Hot take, but...
The Lachey's need to be stopped, actually, more specifically. The Lachey's need to be stopped.
I'll personally fund that moment. I'll find that. I'll sign that petition.
I'm sure there are so many people out there with, like, great ideas for, like, social experiment reality TV shows,
but
that they don't, like,
catchy
make it
enough.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, Netflix needs to be stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe if this conversation proves anything, it's that, like, good taste, like, anything out there is, like, just an aesthetic, right? Mm-hmm. So having good taste in, like, TV or movies or media or whatever, it's, like, that's just one kind of aesthetic, like...
Mm.
Explore what you think is in bad taste or trashy. That's my last thought. Because it could be really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I watch, sometimes when I watch reality TV, I'm like, oh my God, this tells me a lot about people in some weird ways. And I know I've been like, oh, it's not real. But in a lot of ways, it is. And it's real people, like, on those shows playing themselves, telling their stories. And being vulnerable in some ways, so I don't know. Yeah. You can get something out of it.
I play myself every day poorly.
That's a funny note to end on. But yeah, no, it's 4 o'clock and we've come to the end of This Is Not Fine. Thank you so much for listening and stay tuned next week for round two.
When we talk about how the music on reality TV is just made by Lego.
Made by AI.
And talking about competition /
That's next week. We're doing it next week.
Lifestyle shows.
Yeah. We got topics, guys.
I'm down.
Love how this is just happening on air. No, folks, you don't need to listen to this, but thank you so much for tuning in. Until next
time.
Yes,
you do.
Bye.